When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life, but when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's better, HELP.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick. Everyone? Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 16 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
I'm Katie.
I'm Sarah.
This episode is sponsored by Katie Neal. Thank you so much for supporting us on Patreon.
Thank you.
Hooray.
So today we will be discussing chapter 16 of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, Through the Trapdoor. So make sure that you've read the chapter and you're ready to dive into the details. Megan, what is in our weekly profit today?
Well, my computer's being dumb.
Would you like me to pull up the article there?
Katie's got it for
me. Katie's got it.
What a wonderful wife.
This is why I'm married.
What a wonderful wife.
So I wanted to talk about how LeakyCon is coming back to the States for the first time in a couple years, which I'm...
Where was it last year?
It was in Dublin.
Oh, that would have been cool to go to.
That would have been really cool.
It was actually, it was going on when we were in Orlando.
That's right. The talent thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I got you.
And actually, I guess I'm not sure if it wasn't in the States last year, but I know that the year it was in London. And
is there more than one a year?
No, there's only one.
All right.
And so it's going to be in Dallas next August. And I don't know if any of our listeners have ever gone to LeakyCon or know anything about it, but it's pretty much like the biggest Harry Potter fan convention that goes on every year. They're really well known. They do a really good job. I unfortunately have never gone to it, but I've always wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We bought tickets, didn't we, one year?
We bought tickets for when it was in London and we were going to go.
We didn't buy the tickets, did we?
Oh, yes, we did.
Did we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they were like refundable?
Yeah.
Thankfully, because we didn't go.
But we like planned almost the entire thing, and then we're all like, oh, we actually have no money, so we can't go.
Like, everything was paid for, though, except for the flights. Yep. But the flights were just so expensive, we had to cancel.
Oh, man.
Well, now we can fly to Europe for cheaper for flying to Iceland first.
True. Oh, really?
Very true. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's cool.
Round trip are $400, roughly.
That's sweet.
Wow.
Yeah, and once you're over there, it's
way more affordable to fly.
Correct. Especially if you're doing Ryanair. Very cheap.
Nice.
Thank you for the little tidbits there.
You're welcome. So, so if you're going, you might want to look in, when you're going next year, you might want to look into flying to Iceland first. See what's cheapest.
Good idea. So yeah, it's going to be in Dallas.
I wonder how that's decided.
August 10th through the 12th. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that they've said exactly where in Dallas yet. They haven't given many details, but tickets go on sale November 15th.
Soon.
It says check your local Gringotts account.
Yeah. It's a Wednesday, in case anybody doesn't know the date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It'll actually be the Wednesday after this episode comes out. Yeah. So.
Yep.
Little heads up.
Lee, it's cool.
We might be there. We've discussed it. We don't
I don't know
for
we're
sure.
thinking about it. So.
Kicking around the idea.
Kicking
we'll
the idea around.
Like a soccer
Let
ball.
Us know if any of you guys like would be interested in going.
You don't kick it, though.
Yep.
Let us know if anybody would be interested in going and if you would want to go. And
or if you've been. And tell us your experience going.
Yeah. Send us messages. Cool to hear.
And if you would want to see us there, just, I don't know, just let us know. Help us out with our decision.
Yeah, if you is have Dallas- been there, do you think we'll fit in?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know who Harry Potter is, so I wouldn't
so,
fit
Sarah,
in.
Sarah, you can't.
I'm not invited.
Jeez.
So that's my weekly profit. It's pretty short this week, but I just thought that it would be cool to throw that out there for everybody.
Cool. Ready. Yes.
All right. Right into the recap.
Recap. Okay.
That's officially what you have to do every time now.
Can do.
So last time, Harry and Hermione were caught by Filch after they took Norbert up to the astronomy tower. And they ended up losing a total of 150 points for Gryffindor.
Which Megan was really upset about.
Yeah. I am. I'm still upset about it.
I think all the Gryffindors were also upset about it.
Because I don't think they should have lost that many points.
Oh,
just listen to the episode.
I can't even listen to us, let alone talk about us.
Why? Because we're so awesome?
Oh, yeah.
It just burns your ears.
It's the awesomeness much. Just kills me every day.
So Harry also overhears Quirrell talking to someone. Who could it be? Snape? I don't know. And Harry, Hermione, Neville, and Draco have their detention in the Forbidden Forest, and we run into some centaurs and Lord Voldemort.
Good old Voldy.
Scary.
Voldemort.
Drinking some unicorn blood.
Blech.
Spoiler alert. Just kidding.
No.
All right. So it's exam times at Hogwarts, and they finished their last exam, and they are now free for a week before leaving, which I think is weird. Harry realizes that things seem a bit odd surrounding the details of all the stones and like the stuff around it. So they head to Hagrid to ask him some questions. They try to tell Professor McGonagall what they learned, but get shot down. So they devise a plan to go after the stone themselves. Later that night, after dinner, the three of them head to the third floor.
Nice.
There's a three and a third. To make sure that Snape isn't getting the stone, they go through. Look, I did that wrong. They go through the trapdoor and face some obstacles. It ends with Harry going through one final door alone and shocked at what he sees.
What does he see?
Dun, dun, dun.
What do dun. You see?
What do you mean? I just see my face. Scary enough, isn't it?
Well, some would
I
say.
I saw Sarah and yes. I cried.
Oh my God.
That makes me think of Marty's little zinger last night.
But what do you say?
Sarah said something was scary, and then Marty goes, "What, the mirror?"
Oh!
It was terrible.
People think that my brother, I'm like, if you ask him if he likes me, he'd be like, "No, she's terrible." He's not really joking.
No!
Yes, he is.
I like to think I'm his favorite sibling.
That's just okay. Our humor.
True. We're kind of mean. But anyways, so exams, guys. Who doesn't love a good exam?
I will say I'd rather have an exam than like a written one than hands down, like people watching me. I hate that.
You have to do that too.
I just had to
though.
Do that. I know. Yeah. I just had to do that at work though. I was like, ugh, I hate it.
Stressful. Yeah.
So we start our chapter finding out that Harry's made it through his exams without Voldy bursting through the door and killing him.
Hooray! Hoorah!
Okay. So during the exams, I always thought this was kind of cool. They use a quill that is bewitched with an anti-cheating spell. So you better know your stuff. But I was just wondering, I wonder how that works.
Magic.
If you start cheating, does it do something?
Yeah, does it feel it?
I bet
soul?
You it probably burns your paper up.
What if it just gives you
or
like
what if
zap?
It just runs out of ink and stops and then you try Ooh. Again.
And then you have to go and ask for another one, but they know.
Oh. so you're a cheater.
What if it's when it could be a mix between Umbridge making Harry I must not tell lies and Hermione being what is it? What is it? Snitch? What
says,
is
Sneak.
That's right.
So what if it goes, I'm a cheater on his forehead, and like, I don't know.
And pimples that last like all across summer break.
Oh god.
Try getting a date.
Because
that
that's what happened with Hermione's. I don't know. Like in my mind, I thought that that went away much sooner than it actually did. Mm-hmm. But then I remember them talking like in Half Blood Prince that they saw her in the hallways and it was still like kind of there.
Yeah.
It's rough.
It's like scarred. That's some serious acne.
Ooh. Well, you know.
Don't screw over Hermione.
Don't be a sneak. Well,
just saying. Sucks to suck.
Sneaks get snuck.
Bam! That's gonna be the
episode title. So early on, way to go! I'm proud of you. All right, so kind of taking this exam by exam, Flitwick's exam. One by one, students were to make a pineapple dance. Like, why though?
Do you know
how to make a tissue dance? Put a little boogie in it.
Yep. You've told that joke on this podcast before.
I'm so cool.
Oh, gosh.
So I was just wondering,
yeah,
like,
what does that
like why
teach? What does that show that you learned?
Yeah, but teach he's a charms teacher.
Yeah. Yes. I know, but I'm just wondering, like, I wish it was, like, something practical. Like, why do I need to make a pineapple
dance?
What
if you're somewhere and a guy has a wand up to your head and he's like, you make this, I almost said pumpkin, this pineapple dance, or I'm going to Avada your butt. I'm just saying, you don't know.
Are we sure we don't want that to be the title of the episode? Out of your butt? You got some good ones.
I don't know. Sneaks get snuck is pretty good.
Sneaks get snuck, man. All right. So then we have McGonagall's exam, where the students had to turn a mouse into a snuff box.
What is a snuff box?
I assume it's for chewing tobacco.
It's either, I'll look it up. It's either for chewing tobacco or like cigarettes.
Okay.
Cigarettes.
But then I was thinking, like, does this kill the mouse or suspend it in time? And then I said, like, either way, it's terrible.
They do this a lot, though. You know, if you think about it.
Yeah, they do. They go, like, bigger animals.
Like the goblet.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, is that just in the movie?
It could be a movie-ism.
But that was still interesting to see. Yeah. They do animal transformations a lot. Like, they did.
But like
bunnies into slippers or something, right? Wasn't that in the book somewhere where they turned bunnies into slippers?
Does it kill it though?
I want to believe that it just suspends them in time.
But still,
that
you could untransfigure them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even then, if you're like gonna transfigure something into slippers, like are those slippers eventually gonna transfigure on their own back to the animal?
I bet
magic
you
wears off.
Yeah.
Or is it just until you decide to change it back? This poor bunny is like suspended in time.
I bet you that it depends on how not magical, but how powerful they are. You know, how much oomph you put, like with Ron and he tries to turn his rat into a goblin and it's like halfway in between because one, his wand sucks and two, it's not actually his wand. I mean, because it's broken.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's like a thing. Do you want me to tell you what a snuff box is?
Yeah.
A small ornamental box for holding snuff. So then I looked up what snuff was. A scented powdered tobacco.
Yep.
Got it.
Wacky tobacky.
Why is she making them learn how to make snuff boxes?
Also, this is in the 90s, so...
Yeah,
still. Maybe McGonagall's on the tube.
Maybe she likes some. Maybe she likes a little dip there.
Yeah,
I don't know what she does.
The prettiest
in her free
one, she's going to be like, "Yes, I'm going to take this back to my chambers."
My chambers. Whoop! There, my thing went away. All right, here we go. So Snape's exam was the students had to make a forgetfulness potion.
They had to try to remember how to make. Yeah. Correct.
So I was trying to look it up. There was nothing on Pottermore, so then I pulled up the lexicon.
Can I have a teddygram?
That could also be the title of this episode.
Yes, but don't chew in your microphone. Okay.
All right, Mom.
All right. So I guess
what kind of teddygrams,
honey.
Oh, I like the chocolate ones.
Tiffany, you may continue.
Can I go on? Okay.
Yes.
It's so loud. So I guess this is a potion that you can make like on Pottermore, like when you're doing stuff.
Yes, you're right.
So,
wait, is it? Oh, is there like an actual recipe?
Yeah,
like we should make it and drink it.
I don't know what some of these things are. No. So,
we'll remember to post the video of us making it.
I don't know. We'll have to find out.
I don't know how to say some of this. Lethe river water, mistletoe berries, valerian sprigs, and it says standard ingredient. So I don't know what that means.
It's almost Christmas. There's mistletoe in it. We have to make it. We should make it for our feast.
Add 2 drops of the...
Why do you look at me when you say that?
No.
Because you're the cook.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Megan, you cook too.
I'll make the forgetfulness potion.
Will you remember to do it? But we have to stop making that joke. We've made it probably 50 times already. And people are like, all right, we get it.
What joke?
It's not funny. But get it?
Oh.
Okay. Are you ready?
He is over us.
I am.
She's always over us.
I'm ready to read. Okay, so you add 2 drops of the Lethe, however you say it, river water to the cauldron and gently heat for 20 seconds. Add 2 valerian sprigs. Stir clockwise 3 times. Wave your wand and allow to brew for 45 minutes. And then it says, to the mortar, add 2 measures of standard ingredient, whatever that is, and 4 mistletoe berries crushed to a fine powder. Add 2 pinches of the powder to the cauldron. Stir 5 times, anti-clockwise. Counterclockwise, anyone? And that's what it says. And then wave your wand to finish. Just a little interesting fact.
Is there a picture?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Nope.
I just want to know what color it was, that's all.
Hmm. I kind of feel like it'd be like...
Or green?
I was going to say black.
That's what I was thinking.
I don't know, kind of like...
Like a black hole?
Like a...
Yeah.
Black shirt. I like out. That. So, Professor Binns, there's...
I have a question.
Sure.
Potion. Go ahead. When it says forgetfulness potion, do you think that that means that it helps you not forget or it makes you forgetful?
Mm. I would... In my view, I think it would be... Like, you give it to someone to be like, kind of forget the conversation we just had.
Okay.
Kind of thing. That's my take on it.
I would, yeah.
That's how I thought of it too, but I've never thought of it another way. Yeah. So I don't know.
Perspective. It's all about perspective.
Professor Binns, the students had to write about batty old wizards inventing self-stirring cauldrons. So those are the exams.
I like that they all cheer when they're done with History of Magic.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I would too.
I bet that was brutal. And then we also find out at the beginning of the chapter that Harry Scar has been hurting since their adventure in the forest. And he's not been really talking about it with Ron and Hermione. This is kind of like...
I'm sorry.
The starting where his scar hurts and he's like not telling them just yet. And then he usually will like... He'll like... He bounces back and forth between the series between like telling them every single time and then like completely hiding it from them.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So he's hiding it from them right now and then... he's been having his old dreams with the green light. Don't do this today, Katie.
Oh, thank you. I practiced.
So the green light is back and now it's accompanied by a hooded figure dripping with blood.
Poor Harry. He's 11 years old and he has these terrible dreams.
Yeah, that's a terrifying dream to have.
Well, especially since it's based on what happened in real life.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got really loud there because it jumped on the thing. But like...
I
just feel so bad for him.
Oh.
All right.
Me too. Poor Harry.
So, now that their exams are over, Hermione apparently would like to go through each and every exam.
Are we shocked?
No. And I, you know what? It just reminded me of me as a student. Like, I would do that too. Do you remember, like, Katie, like me and you in college, like we would go to a college like exam and then afterwards I would be like, oh, what about this question? And like, what did you say for this? And
we would do that. We did that in high school too. And then you're like, oh no, I don't know. I think I got that one wrong. Yeah.
Just like so reminded me of me going, reading that again.
I'm done.
Yeah. I'm like over it. I'm one of those people that I take tests really fast because if I don't know the question,
I'm not going to know it.
No. So like, but I won't be the first one. I'll be like the second person to turn it in. And like, I once had a teacher, they're like, cause there's people that get test anxiety when they see all these other people like quickly turning in their tests. Mm-hmm. And they're like, just cause they're turning them in fast doesn't mean they're all right. And I'm thinking,
I say that to my students all like, the time.
Yeah. Cause I just, either I know the answer or I don't, and I'm not going to, like, unless it's something like where, that. Like, in the, I know it, I just had to, takes me a minute.
I just always think, like, when I would take tests, if I didn't know the answer right after I read the question, then I don't know the answer. What? I mean, like, that's how I always felt.
No, that's not true.
If it's multiple choice.
Skip it and go back.
Yeah, I would skip it and go back. And then with multiple choice, there's like a way where I can get most of the answers correct because I'm like, well, that's not like I would whittle it down.
Yeah.
Whittle it.
So she was talking about the History of Magic exam and mentioned the 1637 Werewolf Conduct Code and Elfric the Eager. So I thought that I would do a little bit of research on them and see what they are. So the 1637 Werewolf Code of Conduct, I actually was able to find some info on the lexicon. It says it was meant to give werewolves a framework for coexisting safely and legally within the wizarding world. Werewolves were required to sign a copy of the code and promise to refrain from attacking and biting non-werewolves. Sorry, guys, I had a typo there. They were also supposed to lock themselves away during their wolf transformation periods. But as no undeclared werewolf ever wanted to go into the ministry and admit to being one, no one ever signed up to the code.
Literally no one?
Yeah.
Where's their source?
I don't remember.
Because I know they do add sources to all their articles.
Yeah, they do. 1637, right?
Mm-hmm.
Werewolf code.
This is a little off topic, but on werewolves. So, like, you know how a vampire, like, they want to drink blood? Do werewolves want to, like, eat people?
It depends.
I feel like Fenrir is a totally different.
Well, I would say pre Fenrir being a werewolf was probably still a not nice person.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Remus was like, if he was never a werewolf, he's a good dude. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
are you talking about human form or werewolf
form? Werewolf form.
I think. That
oh, they
if
all
something
have
crosses
that.
Your path, yeah. You're gonna eat it.
So, like, what's with Wolfsbane? I said that wrong.
Wolfsbane
potion. Wolfsbane potion basically keeps
docile.
You as yourself, but you still have to transform.
So when you are drinking your Wolfsbane, that I can't say correctly, and you're a werewolf, it's now you're transformed, and you see, like, your best buddy. Are you going to
because you're still in your right mind when you drink it.
Okay.
Well, and that's part of the reason why the Marauders became Anime Jai. Mm-hmm. Is that how we want to say the plural?
That reminds me of.
So they could hang with him safely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So. Did you find it? It's okay if you didn't. We can come back to it.
Well, I found it on the Wikia. Let me see what their source is. Writing by J.K. Rowling, Werewolves at Pottermore.
Oh, okay.
So.
I can hang with that.
Elfric the Eager was a little harder. There's not much. There's no real information. But for whatever reason, people think that it's likely he was a goblin and the leader of a goblin rebellion. But that's really all that they come up with. And I'm not really sure why they think that. It was just what I found online. Let me pull up that source really quick.
You know, seriously, this is why we need an encyclopedia.
I know.
Yes.
Like, we legit need it. There's too many sources out there that aren't, like, legitimate sources.
I think that's what Pottermore is supposed to be.
But it's not.
I agree.
But I think that might be her thinking behind
Pottermore. No, Joe, no.
So it says that the only source on this is Sorcerer's Stone, them mentioning it, but
they don't say anything about being a goblin.
They don't. However, it says he was responsible for a revolt. Doesn't it in the book? Say something like that.
Is that how you pronounce that word? A revolt?
Revolt. Maybe? Sorry.
A revolt.
It says, since he was responsible for a revolt.
Yep.
And is covered in a history of magic class, it is likely he was a goblin. However, this has not yet been confirmed.
So it's just speculation. Okay.
Right.
Well.
Speculation.
So we don't really know who Elfric the Eager is.
Okay.
So anyway, after exams ended, now the trio decided to go down to the lake and just kind of hang out and enjoy the nice weather because they have a week to just hang around at Hogwarts, apparently.
Do we know what the date is?
I mean, they go pretty late into the year. It's definitely June sometime. And I think it might even kind of be like later in June because during Gobble to Fire.
Like mid-June?
Yeah, Gobble to Fire, like mid-June is when one of the tasks, the last task, I think, is.
Okay.
So I thought it was funny that they pointed out that they saw the Weasley twins and Lee Jordan tickling the tentacles of the giant squid. He was basking in the sun. And Ron couldn't be happier that exams are over and that they have a whole week off before they get to go home. And then they find out how they did. Why do they have to stay at school to find out their exam results? That just seems really weird to me because I know as, you know, like tests and stuff like that, that we would take at school, like we would just get it in the mail.
Yeah.
Two things. One, Cedric Diggory died June 24th. So that was in the last task.
Oh, dang. That's late.
Yeah.
Isn't it? And they then, have a short summer. They go back they have September. A
bananas 1st. Yeah. Short summer.
That's good for well, Harry, though.
But they also don't they get a week off for Easter and stuff? Mm-hmm. Okay, and they have Christmas holidays.
Well, we have those.
Yeah, but I mean, break. I would stay every month for Hogwarts. Like, I wouldn't go home. What was my other thing that I was going to say? What were we just
I
talking
don't know.
About? You're- oh, why they're staying? Maybe because if they do fail. They have to, like, the redo teachers have to have schedule, a conversation. Yeah, and, like, have to have a conversation with them. Yeah. And
well, I was wondering, is it because do the older students have more exams or, like, they have the written and they have, like, the practical piece?
Maybe.
Is it because of them?
Could be.
Because I don't ever remember, I don't know about the other books, if there's, like, this long period of time after exams. Because I usually feel like they're canceled. Never, yeah.
I feel like it's never really so talked maybe, about again.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm not sure. What do you guys think? Tell us.
Yeah. Give us your theories about that.
Hey, this is Megan from Swish and Flick. I wanted to tell you all about Book of the Month. I love the curated list of books that is available every month. It makes it so easy to find something for you. Book of the Month focuses on new and upcoming authors. It's really helped me to venture beyond my regular genres. I am so excited at the start of every month to see what Book of the Month has picked, and what's better than getting a cute blue box in the mail with a book in it. I was so excited to see this month The Paradise Problem by Christina Loren was a pick. You guys know how much I love their writing. I've already started it, and it's everything you could expect from a Christina Loren novel. Book of the Month is offering a great intro offer for the month of May. You get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS. PETALS, and shipping is always free. Head on over to bookofthemonth.com and use code PETALS.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So Harry brings up that his scar is hurting him, and Hermione tells him to go to Madame Pomfrey, but Harry's convinced that it's a warning that danger is coming. And I wrote in all capital letters, is Harry really this smart?
I think so. Definitely.
I wrote in my notes, Mars is bright.
I think he can feel it in his bones, in his soul.
Can you feel it in his Horcrux?
Probably. Horcruxes are going to Horcrux.
But Harry's super worried, though.
Mars is bright.
I don't know. Like I said, like, he doesn't get all the credit that is due to him, because after reading this, and I was like, Harry figured a lot of this out.
Mm-hmm. He did.
And Hermione didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think the movies are, like, major, like, mm-hmm. at fault for mm-hmm. that. But, he figured out so much stuff. Yeah. So, yes, my answer is yes.
And, like, going back to that, an 11-year-old boy figured all this out.
Yeah.
But he's an exceptional.
He's still 11 years old, and you're hiding a stone that's super valuable in a school.
Whereas no other student would have any other reason to know.
No, but, like, even if they did, out. Like, if three 11-year-olds, well, no, two 12-year-olds and an 11-year-old can get through all,
Well, here's the thing. I've been, like, reading a lot about it, but, like, Dumbledore was, this was all kind of, like, in my head canon, training him.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a whole other issue mm-hmm. I have.
And can I go back to where I said I think that the Room of Requirement was where he left the mirror? I don't think it was the Room of Requirement anymore. I think it was a random classroom.
No, yeah. You know, when someone wrote, they're like, we don't think it was.
Yeah, because I forgot about the you have to walk past it, blah, blah, blah. Like, definitely not. So headcanon, out. Yeah.
So we agree with because I think it makes sense, like you're saying, with Dumbledore training him to being, I'm going to put this in his way.
Oh, how convenient. So you have the cloak.
Yes.
But like, it's so crazy that he had, he knew James and he just, how, I just wonder, like, what all is Dumbledore capable of? Because he's piecing all these things together like a friggin' puppet master. Mm-hmm. And Harry's doing every single one of these things, mm-hmm. just like he thought. So like, what's going on, Dumbledore? What kind of powers do you have that we don't know about? Because we know he can do other stuff that no other wizards can do. Yeah. Like, is this epic, like...
Well, and he knows.
I wonder if Dumbledore is a Legilimens.
Legilimens, but also...
I guarantee
fortune it. Fortune telling stuff. Give me a word.
Fortune telling.
A seer.
Like a seer, yeah.
Could be.
Can he like see like, oh, if I'm going to do, I know that he's going to adventure this. Out. I'm going to put this here. Yeah. Like,
well, and he knows too, like you see him in the, especially in the last chapter when he's like explaining everything to Harry, he knows exactly
everything.
What's going, every, like he knows what's going to happen. Like he yes. knows that Harry's going to have to die. Like he knows that.
And,
or he, it's his, what, it's his best guess, right? And his guesses are usually correct.
Yes, and at the end of the seventh book, he also says, from what I gather, that he also knew that Harry wasn't really going to die.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Because he said his guesses are usually correct.
Yes.
For a long time, I think that he thought Harry really was going to die. But then as time progressed, I think that he then saw that there was a flaw and that it could be stopped. But he couldn't.
Can't let tell him that.
He couldn't obviously tell Harry or Snape or anybody that, because mm-hmm. if Harry knew that he wasn't actually going to die, that sacrifice wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that were, I mean, we should probably cut this conversation off, but when we go back into this, a lot of people really don't like Dumbledore for what he had done. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people really love Dumbledore. And I was kind of on, when I started, I love Dumbledore. And then I was like, oh my God, as I'm connecting all these things, you're kind of awful. But now...
Yeah,
after piecing all my things together, I love him again. And I'll tell you why later on in, you know, about five years.
We could do a we can even do a separate episode. Like we're gonna have to do one/1,000,000 on Snape. Because there's so much to talk about him. But we can go delve deeper into each of our like series about every professor. Like Dumbledore, there's so much to say about him and there's so much to speculate about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and why he did the things that he did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So back to chapter
19. Sorcerer's Stone.
So Ron and Hermione are like super not worried about the Sorcerer's Stone at all at this point. They have been focused on exams. They're ready to be relaxed. They're ready for summer break. They don't care. But that is all Harry can think about. And here we also see, I don't know if anybody else made this connection, but we see an owl delivering a letter. And it's very specifically laid out in the chapter that Harry sees an owl carrying a letter to one of the towers in Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm.
Who's this letter going to? My speculation that it is the urgent letter from the Ministry for Dumbledore.
Which blew my mind.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, because it's just something, because you're reading and you're trying to get to something else.
Yeah, you and almost overlook it.
It's a, it's a Potter tic-tac.
Yes. So, it's right after this that Harry suddenly has an epiphany, jumps up, and says that they must go and visit Hagrid immediately.
Immediately.
Y'all can come Nightmare. Over for some tea and rock cakes.
Stoat sandwiches.
Sure.
That sounds gross.
That's what we're going to have at our Christmas feast.
We looked it up last time. It's a weasel.
Did I tell you I was doing something that day?
I'm busy every day you want to have it, so sorry.
Yeah, so Harry runs to go and see Hagrid because he has to ask him about the night that he won Norbert. And Tiffany pointed out it was funny that Hagrid's like, oh, do you guys want a drink or something? Because it's so hot. And Ron's like, yes, please, because he's always wanting something to eat or drink.
Always.
So they question him about, or Harry questions them about, questions Hagrid about that night. And Hagrid doesn't know what the guy looked like. He said he kept his hood up and he can't really remember what happened because the stranger kept buying him drinks. Very suspicious. But Harry pries it out of him. And let me pull this up. So Hagrid says that they started talking about the creatures that he took care of because they were playing for this dragon egg. And he says, oh, you know, after Fluffy, I can handle a dragon. That would be easy. And Harry's like, oh, man, did he seem interested in Fluffy? And Hagrid's like, well, yeah, of course. You don't see a lot of three-headed dogs.
Fluffy's a piece of cake. You just play him a bit of music and he goes straight to sleep. And then he's like, oh no.
I shouldn't have told you that.
What did I do?
I shouldn't have said that.
I should not have told you that.
So Hagrid spills the beans. Harry, Ron, and Hermione peace out like immediately.
Peace out.
And they run to go see Dumbledore. And I thought it was funny that they're like, okay, let's find his office. And they just start looking around. Like there's a sign somewhere that says, you know, Dumbledore's office this way. But they end up running into McGonagall and find out that he had just left for the ministry. And they tell her that they know about the Sorcerer's Stone, and she drops her book. She's so shocked. But I think it's kind of cool that McGonagall doesn't deny they're correct about the stone. She's baffled, but she doesn't tell them that they're lying or yeah. like, no way, you guys are crazy. She's like, yeah, I don't know how you found out about it, but don't worry about it. But Harry knows that it's tonight that Snape, who they think is going to steal the stone. And of course, he like turns up right behind them because Snape's creepy like that.
Yeah. But think he's keeping tabs on Harry?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. He's probably following around a little
he's
bit.
He's always somewhere.
You're right.
So they decide to have Hermione tail him, try and keep an eye on him, but that doesn't end up working. So Harry's like, you know what? I got to go down and get the stone first before he does. And Hermione and Ron think he's crazy. Like, you'll be expelled. And then Harry goes into this heroic explosion.
Dude. Yes.
And it's crazy. He talks about, like, I'll never go to the dark side. Is this Star Wars? I don't know.
Shout
Do you want
out
me to read
Star
it?
Wars.
Yes.
I wrote it in my notes with a little smiley face.
Oh, no. What happened?
That's Sarah's not got it.
That's not oh, it. Do you want me
Oh, you're right. You can read it if
hand.
You want.
Yeah, go ahead.
You want me to?
Yeah, you'll do it better than I will.
Okay. Oh, God. Yeah. Do you want me to read the whole thing? Starting
sure.
with so what?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Do the voices.
I can't. It says, so what? Harry shouted. Don't you understand? If Snape gets a hold of the stone, Voldemort's coming back. Haven't you heard what it was like when he was trying to take over? There won't be any Hogwarts to get expelled from. He'll flatten it or turn it into a school for the dark arts.
Borgin and Burks.
Losing potence doesn't matter anymore, can't you see? Do you think he'd leave you and your families alone if Gryffindor wins the House Cup? If I get caught before I get to the stone, well, I'll have to go back to the Dursleys and wait for Voldemort to find me there. It's only dying a bit later than I would have because I'm never going over to the dark side. I'm going through that trapdoor tonight, and nothing you two say is going to stop me. Voldemort killed my parents, remember?
He glared at them.
Mm-hmm. I remember reading that for the first time, and I was like, whoa.
It's yeah. a preview of Caps Lock, Harry. Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Dude. It does start with some Caps Lock.
So
right there.
What?
But Hermione says, you're right. You know, they both agree with him. And their loyalty really shows because Harry doesn't think they're going to go with them. Mm-hmm. He's like, what are you guys talking about? And they're like, are you crazy? You wouldn't survive without us. Pretty and Hermione, yes.
I just want to point out that Harry, from book one to book seven, doesn't learn anything. Like, you think you can go on your own. Your friends are like, no, we're coming with you, you idiot. Like,
yeah, pretty
and
much.
That's like a lesson like for life. Like,
yeah.
You can't do it alone.
But I can't do it alone.
First die.
But Sarah pointed out that this is another example of them being stronger together.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And Hermione says, like, even if we do get caught, they're not going to expel me. I got 112% on my exam with Flitwick. Thank you.
She's getting a little sassy.
How does one get 112%?
It's Hermione.
I don't know.
Questions. I'm just saying I had 103% in geometry.
A little flair maybe to whatever she was doing.
Yeah, she showed a little leg.
That is not the way she operates, Sarah.
Okay. All right.
Well, right. So now they're at my favorite place, which is dinner. So after dinner, they wait nervously in the common room. They're all sitting separately, and no one's bothering them because they're still mad about the whole them losing points. Mm. So they're all kind of sitting separately, which I already said.
You're all right.
So everyone leaves the common room to go to bed. Lee Jordan's the last one to leave. So Harry goes and gets his cloak, and at the last minute, he grabs the flute that Hagrid made him for Christmas because he's not in the mood for singing.
I remember that. I remember thinking, oh.
Yeah. I wonder if he'd be good at all. And so just as they're about to go back to the common room, they're about to put their cloak on, and they're stopped by Neville, who stands up to them and telling them, like, you're going to lose Gryffindor more points. And he's like, I'll fight you if I have to. And I say, that just shows how brave Neville is to stand up to his friends, and he's a true Gryffindor.
Yeah.
So in order not to fight him and to get to the stone faster, Hermione uses a spell, Petrificus Totalus, which is a body binding spell.
Which we see goes all the way to Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
Hello.
And so I was trying to like look up like, because it's like a curse. I don't know if it's a curse or we called it a jinx, and there's nothing on Pottermore about jinxes. So the Webster's dictionary.
Seriously?
No, nothing. I'm going to tell you there's stuff about this spells and charms. So the definition of jinx, according to Merriam-Webster.com, is one that brings bad luck. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but no.
So then on Pottermore, if you look up spells and charms, it literally has a picture of Bellatrix and it says spells and charms cast with a swish and a flick.
What?
And the right incantation.
Really?
Yes. I had to say that.
Pottermore, thanks for the shout out.
Yeah. Pottermore just gave us a shout out.
And so they have spell profiles and everything. And so they have a bunch of spells. If you want to see it, we'll put it on our Facebook page. They've got all types. And then poor little Neville's face. It says, so the Petrificus Totalus, also known as the full body bind, it's paralyzes. I don't know if that's what
how paralysis. You say that.
But that's not what it looks like. The victim. And you see Dueling Club, a bunch of other stuff. And then there's the etymology, I believe is how you say that, of Harry Potter's like spell. Harry Potter spells, and it's heavily influenced by, it just kind of tells you where she got the name from. So Petra, which is derived from the word Petros, which means rock in Greek. And ooh. Then Fictus is a Latin suffix, which denotes making or doing something. And Totalus is a loose reworking of
totality.
Well, that's not what it says.
Oh,
it's T-O-T-A-L-I-S, which once again is Latin meaning of total or entire. So roughly speaking, Petrificus Totalus translates to make rock totally. And then it says, which we're sure victims of the curse, such as Neville Longbottom, totally understand all too well.
Whoa.
And
poor Neville.
Oh, I did. I put the links in. And so they kind of have a bad feeling because they leaving Neville on the floor in the common room. So yeah, they make their way
like
to Fluffy.
That's not like a good way to start.
Yeah. It's literally it's kind of like a bad omen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just cause like that's their friend. And I literally wrote on the side of my book. I was like, poor Neville. I'm like, do they feel bad? Like they had to do that to Neville. And especially because like he already thinks that they don't really like him all that much because they were lying about like the whole thing and getting in trouble with the dragon and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so they see Mrs. Norris on their way, but she seems to like know that there's something there, but she doesn't make her way over there because she can't actually see them because they're under the invisibility cloak.
Right.
And then they see Peeves, who knows that there's something there, but he can't see them. And he says, "No, you're there, even if I can't see you. Are you a ghoulie or a ghostie or wee student beastie?" And then Harry pretends to be the Bloody Baron and says he has a reason for being invisible. Peeves instantly is scared and apologizes to the Baron. And Harry tells him to stay away from this place tonight.
Again, he can't pick up a letter off the floor, but he can come up with this brilliant plan. That's all I have to
right,
say.
Right, like straight up, like out of nowhere.
Yep.
That's a discussion for another day. So I think it's interesting. Like, I wonder why what happened to make Peeves afraid of the Bloody Baron so much?
Yeah.
Like, how does Harry know that? Do we see that in the rest of the book? We don't. He just knows that, right? I don't know.
I can't remember.
I don't know where
does
we
Nick
learn
tell
it.
Him?
Maybe.
Oh, could be.
Maybe.
I think that he does. Nick. Mm. I think nearly headless Nick tells
it's
him.
It's Sir Nicholas, if you don't mind.
Oh my gosh.
So they finally make it to Fluffy in the trap door. They see the door is already open and there's a harp laying on the floor. So they know that Snape is already inside. So Harry tries again to go down by himself, but Harry and Hermione won't let him. So Ron and Hermione won't let Harry go by himself. So he starts playing the flute, him being Harry, to keep Fluffy asleep. And then he hands it to Hermione. Harry jumps down, followed by Ron, and then Hermione is the last one to go.
True. All right, so Harry drops with a flump, quote, onto something soft.
That is such a good description word, because I, like, hear that noise when you say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. And he gives the okay, so the rest of them come down and land. And Hermione makes the comment that they must be miles under the school. Do you think that's exaggerated or do you think that's probably true?
Maybe, because I like the description of, like, the trapdoor looked like a postage stamp. It was so small.
Mm.
So,
yeah, that's, that's miles. A great distance. Yeah. Even if it's, like, two. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That makes me wonder if maybe they were...
By the Chamber of Secrets?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Could be. That's pretty cool.
That's scary. But because remember, the basilisk was still alive at that moment.
The Chamber of
Secrets... But it's not open. You know?
Does not exist.
Right, it's a secret.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, they realize that the plant has twisted its vines around their legs, holding them down. And Hermione ends up breaking free. So that the more that the boys struggle, the more that they are trapped. And we find out that this is the Devil's Snare. Okay. And so I wanted to look up a little more about the Devil's Snare. So I found it on the lexicon. It says, Devil's Snare is composed of a mass... of soft, springy tendrils and vines that possess some sense of touch. So that reminds me of like a Venus flytrap in a sense. And it says Devil's Snare uses its creepers and tendrils to ensnare anyone who touches it, binding their arms and legs and eventually choking them to death.
It's like a, was that a python that does that?
Yeah. So there's also, there's a few instances of the Devil's Snare throughout the series. So obviously Sorcerer's Stone, which we're in right now. And then a cutting of a Devil's Snare is passed off as a potted plant in St. Mungo's in Order of the Phoenix.
Smuggles?
Huh?
Smuggling.
Smuggling.
Are they smuggling it in? Is that what you said?
Well, yeah.
No, it's in St. Mungo's. Like they Are somebody they brought it in. It's one that I think it like kills someone actually.
Oh. Oh.
Okay. All right, moving on. And then Professor Sprout actually uses it as a weapon against the Death Eaters in Deathly Hallows.
That's right. I forgot about
that. So that's some little interesting tidbits of information.
That whole thing in St. Mungo's turns out to be a pretty big plot point, too, in that book.
Yeah, it does. So I also wanted to look up, like, what... Devil's Snare, like if it was real. So it is. Go ahead, Sarah.
I must ask you a question, but yeah. I'll shave it for later.
Okay. Sarah and Megan are wearing mustaches right now. So it is a real plant. It's goes by many different names. Moonflower, thorn apple, devil's weed, devil's trumpet. Devil's cucumber, loco weed, stink weed.
I've heard of Jimson weed.
So there are a bunch of different names. And if you look at a picture of it, it's got like super spiky leaves, which kind of like double horns or something like that. So I can see it's a real thing. And I like that Joe uses a real thing. So as they're panicking, Hermione is like, she's faltering and figuring this out. And Harry ends up choking out the words light. So like light a fire when she says it likes the dark and the damp.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hermione says that there's no wood.
One of my favorite moments.
So Ron kindly screams, have you gone mad? Are you a witch or not?
Best line ever.
And I love it. And I wanted to point out that this portion of the story shows where Hermione begins and becoming an epic BA witch because
yeah.
Totally.
Right now, she's failing at kind of those instinctual moves to survive.
I wouldn't say failing.
Oh, I would.
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, I 100% would. I mean, we can agree to disagree on that. That's totally fine. But this shows where her story kind of starts and her arc goes.
I can't laugh with this mustache.
I told you. It feels
really weird. I almost said, I wonder if mustaches feel like this. No, they don't because they're not taped on.
Anyways.
It feels so weird. I just want to laugh, but I can't. Okay.
So she's not like quick enough to figure this out as they're being choked to death. So I like that this is where she begins.
And doesn't she say in a later book to Ron, because he does something and she's like, are you a wizard or not? And he was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a connection.
That's full funny. Circle.
Anyways.
So and I'm really mad that they left that out of the movie.
Mm-hmm. But we've discussed that they give
Have you gone mad? Are you a witch or not?
Oh.
How Hermione actually like takes a wrong step here and messes up.
Yeah.
They take that out.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
So I just like that she grows over time into a quick thinking witch in the time of danger. Because she does. I mean, if you think about leaving the wedding.
I was just thinking that. Yes.
So like, prepared.
Like, so she learns as she goes. And I just love that.
She's a woman and she's smart. So.
So Ron basically helps save the day. Hermione creates her bluebell flames. And the devil's snare releases the voice. So they're down there and Harry's mind starts to race about like what could be in front of them. Cause that was only the first thing and they almost died. So, he's thinking like at Gringotts, like maybe are there dragons down here? He just dealt with a dragon. He probably doesn't want to think about that anymore. But then Ron hears something, a soft rustling and a clinking sound. And I think someone asks, do you think it's a ghost? And they
If it was a ghost,
they shouldn't be afraid with all their experience with a ghost.
Yeah, not only that, but like honestly, what could a ghost do?
I don't know.
Protect something, you know? A poltergeist probably could.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I don't think that a ghost would really be able to do much
because they're not afraid of them.
Be like, ooh, I'm a ghost.
Like, they're gonna be like, okay, cool. I hang out with you all the time. You're one of my teachers.
They'd be like, excuse me, walk right through you.
Yeah. So
like, get a little shiver, but I'm just going to keep walking.
Yeah. A little shiver. They follow those sounds into a brilliantly lit chamber, which is kind of interesting since they were just in like such a dark and damp area, with what appeared to be small jeweled bright birds.
It's pretty weird how all the rooms that they go through are so different, but they're connected. Mm-hmm.
It just makes me think like what else is in Hogwarts, you know?
Did you talk about whose room the Devil's Snare was? I'm sorry.
No, I didn't. Okay. That was Professor Sprout's.
I just wanted to make sure because I thought we were going to say.
We were, and then I forgot. So thanks.
I reminded you.
And then I forgot.
So, yes, that was Professor Sprout's protection. And so they feel like they're going to be attacked by these birds. So Harry chances it. He runs across the room. Nothing happens. And then he realizes that they're keys. And so they have to catch the correct key to open the door. Ron is the person that figures out what this key should look like. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Ron. You're underrated, dude.
God, book Ron is so much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly. Just like book Jenny. Book Weasleys are just better.
Yeah. Agree. Yeah.
I will say, though.
And they're all there in the books.
I will say, I still love Rupert Grint.
Oh, yeah.
He did a great Ron. I mean, they just didn't give him good material.
Yeah. It was the screenplay writing. Like
He needed better material.
Yeah.
Fred and George are probably the only ones that go very well between book and book.
Agreed. Yeah.
Although, of course, they're still better in the book.
Right. Yes. So Ron examines the lock and the door to try to figure out what the key might look like.
I literally was like, at the where he examines the locker, I'm like, not dumb.
Not dumb. You're right. And then I wrote that he's wildly underrated. Mm-hmm. But it appears to be a silver. That was a good one.
Thank you.
Matched to the handle. So the trio gets on brooms, which we know Hermione hates flying, which poor Hermione at this point. She like can't figure it out and now she's got to fly. So she's probably just really upset.
Her moment's coming.
Yes, that's true. And honestly, I don't think they would have gotten anywhere without her because they they have logic, but they don't have that kind of logic.
Nope.
So the trio gets on brooms and they fly to catch the key. Harry, being the seeker, spots it and it has bright blue wings. And he devises a plan so that they can catch the key. And he ends up smashing it against a wall to catch it. Hashtag poor key. And the battered key unlocks the door into the next chamber and the next protection. So these keys are Professor Flitwick's charmed keys.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
I'd also like to point out that in the movie, Harry's the only one on the broom where it takes all three of them to corner the key to get it. So they are stronger together.
And they even tried. They tried to just like go get it, but they couldn't. And that's why Harry had to come up with like that plan.
Yeah. They also like the keys don't start swarming and attacking them in the book.
No.
Like they do in the movie.
Yeah. They're just like evading.
So much drama.
There is so much drama.
Well, it's like a soap opera.
That's what they do in the
movies. For the movies.
Yep. All right.
So here is where we come across Professor McGonagall's room, her little contribution to this. Which is massive, brutal. It is pretty brutal.
But, I mean, as it should be.
It kind of sounds like her, though. Like, she's kind of brutal.
When you think about all the things that Professor McGonagall has contributed in terms of protection, like when she had all of the suits of armor come to life.
I was just thinking that.
She's a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's just her thing. Yeah. So,
not a bad thing. Her being brutal is not a bad thing.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
She's awesome.
So they come across a massive chessboard that is beyond life size, like bigger than them.
Mm-hmm.
And there are pieces missing on the set for them to replace, right? Or is that a movieism?
I think that's a movieism.
That's a movieism. They have to choose their pieces.
Yeah, back pedal. Ron chooses their pieces. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I did just read this chapter the other day.
As for me, I'm going to be a knight.
So yeah. Ron tells them where to go. And Tiffany has a cool correlation between the pieces.
It's not a theory.
It's cool correlation between the pieces that they play in the chess room and who they are as people. So I'm going to let her discuss it.
Yeah. So as I was reading this, I was like, there's always something behind Joe's stuff. And she always has reasoning for things. So I just wanted to look up what the pieces meant. And just by like literal definition. So mm-hmm. Harry was a bishop. And bishops are typically in charge of a diocese. So Harry typically in charge. That kind of goes.
Mm-hmm.
Hermione was a castle, which is a stronghold fortified against attacks. I see her as a complete stronghold. Like, yeah. She's always protecting them and taking care of them. And then Ron was a knight, and knights are men who serve their sovereign. So Ron, I don't want to say he serves Harry, but he aids him and he helps him. And so that's kind of service in a way. So I just thought that was interesting how all of those kind of connect to the characters.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not a theory.
It's totally a theory.
How's that a theory?
Because you're correlating them to the pieces. It's a theory.
It's a compliment to you to say it's a theory.
Yeah, for real. So let's talk about Ron here.
I think
that this is where Ron shows us that he's truly a Gryffindor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it's not that he shows us that he should be in any other house at any other time of the book, but like this is just where it really shines through.
Agreed.
He occasionally disappoints me during the series as a whole in terms of his Gryffindorness as well. Mm. So this moment almost makes up for all those other moments that he's annoying.
When is he annoying?
When he ducks out,
he's super emotional. And he gets a little jealous.
He's got
a lot of personal issues.
He'll abandon Harry at times in the series
when
I think that he shouldn't, or his emotions get the better of him. Yeah.
I can't take Meg seriously with this mustache on her face.
I just love Ron.
You look real good.
I mean, you look hot. I'm just saying.
Well,
she's like, yeah.
So the next room, after Ron heroically gets them through this chess set and sacrifices himself,
which is huge. Epic.
And I think that I don't. Are you okay?
Just hit myself.
So at this moment, I'm going to do a little comparison here between book to movie really quick.
Go for it.
So they are in the chess scene. Ron is the leader here. I'm just doing generalized right now. They're in the chess scene. Ron is leading them through this game.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about to win.
Mm-hmm.
But Harry realizes what Ron has to do in order to win.
Mm-hmm.
This happens in both book and movie, so this is fine. And Harry's like, no, don't. Like, what are you thinking? And then he kind of realizes that really is what has to happen. That's really the only way to win.
Mm-hmm.
So he lets Ron sacrifice himself and then finishes the game, wins. So then they go over to Ron, like, make sure that he's not dead, hopefully. And I I don't like that they cut the potions room here from the movie. Yeah. Because I think that it showed even more bravery of Ron to, like, tell them both to go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So in the book here, you know, he tells them, no, you need to continue. Like, I'll be fine. And I liked that. And I wish that they would have done that in the movie.
I just want to point out that a lot of people say that this is where Hermione fell in love with Ron. Because he sacrificed himself.
For her and for Harry.
You know how you said Harry is like, no, but then he realizes like it's like the only way? Dumbledore. It's the only way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm.
Ooh.
But almost, you can also correlate it to like Harry then does the exact same thing where
everybody's using everybody. Himself. It's the only way.
Guys. Well, yeah, we're like for the greater good.
But
that's but, not a good phrase.
But I agree. But no, I agree.
True.
That's a I agree. Grindelwald
phrase. The way that he correct. Was using it was not nice.
Right.
Correct. It's all about perspective.
Yeah.
Indeed. Which good is the greater good?
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah. So Ron tells Harry and Hermione to continue. They go into the next room. It's the troll room. He's smelly and he's knocked out.
Moving
so
on.
So they don't need to fight it, thankfully. And the troll room is all thanks to Quirrell, which we find out in a little bit.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, sorry.
Wait, what?
Moving on.
I will say this is really itchy.
Mm-hmm.
Your mustache.
That's why I'm not wearing one, because Katie said that yesterday.
Yeah, it was a little...
Mine's not itchy yet. I just, like, really wish I could laugh without it falling off.
It loosens up. Don't worry. You get used to it. So, I just the really next want a room, snack. I want to talk about my section of the podcast.
Can she go and do this?
So, the next room is Snape's protection, which is not in the movie. And I think one of our listeners pointed out how this was the scene they were probably most disappointed in that wasn't in the movie.
Ever or just this movie?
I think ever.
Okay.
I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. But so they walk into this room and they don't notice anything frightening about it. But as soon as they walk in, purple and black fire trap them in the room. And there are seven.
Go ahead. Oh, got a little weird there.
Seven different potion bottles on a table. And Hermione sees that there's like parchment next to it and she picks it up and reads it. And she's so relieved because this is something logical.
Yes.
And she can figure it out. Apparently. So I'm going to read.
I would not figured it out.
I would be trapped in there forever.
I'm just so smart. I don't know. I'd have to read it again to see if I could figure it out.
Well, I'm going
to
read it for
she's
you.
About to read it right now.
I was going
to
say, but also, what's her face has the answer right after that. So, I
so
would
then
just
you
read
can
her,
connect it.
I would just read her answer.
So it says, danger lies before you while safety lies behind.
That's obvious.
Two of us will help you, whichever you would find. One among us seven will let you move ahead. Another will transport the drinker back instead. Two among our number hold only nettle wine. Three of us are killers waiting hidden in line. Choose unless you wish to stay here forevermore. To help you in your choice, we give you these clues for. First, however slyly the potion tries to hide, you will always find some on Nettle Wine's left side. Second, different are those who stand at either end, but if you would move onward, neither is your friend. Third, as you see clearly, all are different size. Neither dwarf nor giant holds death in their insides. Fourth, the second left and the second on the right are twins once you taste them, though different at first sight. Yeah, I'd be so screwed.
So
it's
like
not
the
even funny.
Like the potions are in the small and the big bottle?
I don't think so. Is it? Does it?
What'd you say?
The tiny one is the one that lets you through, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm saying the good potions are the dwarf and the giant bottle. That
they're not going to kill you.
Well, it says neither dwarf nor giant holds death on their inside, but it could be nettle wine, right? Or it could be.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not a Ravenclaw.
Exactly. I don't know.
Or Hermione.
I'd be so screwed.
This is why Hermione, that has to have been her second house. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
So Hermione, thankfully, figures this out. And Harry was even worried. He's like, we're going to be stuck in here forever.
I just love how as soon as she finishes reading it, she's like, brilliant. She's so happy that this is what this task is. Like, she finally can contribute here.
She just, like, reads it a couple times. She's like, okay, got it. You drink this, I drink that. We're good. So right before they're about to split up, because Harry decides, you know, you go back, get Ron, send an owl, just in case I can't hold Snape off, you know, send it to Dumbledore. I'm probably going to need him. She runs and hugs him, and he's super embarrassed, which is really cute.
Such kid stuff.
And I just wanted to read what their little interaction was. And she said, Harry, you're a great wizard, you know. And he said, I'm not as good as you, said Harry, very embarrassed as she let go of him. Me, said Hermione, books and cleverness. There are more important things, friendship and bravery. And oh, Harry, be careful. So this shows how she is much more Gryffindor and Ravenclaw.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or that's how she chooses to, that's what she chooses to value.
Exactly. She realizes what the important things are.
Mm-hmm. So they take their potions. Harry goes through the fire, and you know what? It's not Snape, and it's not even Voldemort.
What?
I have a question. Did Harry start the fire? Because we didn't start the fire.
Ryan started the fire.
Oh my God.
Shout out to The Office. All right. So, lightning bolt round. Questions be cool.
I don't know why
cool
I
spelled like that.
You don't like that?
Cool.
No, I like it.
Cool. All right, I have some prepped questions.
You always do.
Otherwise, I wouldn't ask any because I can't think of them on the spot.
All right, like Sarah.
Radio silence. Do you want to tell them what we did today? That could be awkward. We cuddled.
We did cuddle, and it was everything I could ever dream of. All right. Now, I brought this up in our Patreon hangout, but I wanted to bring it up now because it's a cool question. You too.
My pop filter smells.
Okay.
Mine does not.
Mine doesn't either. But my question is...
Katie, does yours?
No.
Maybe mine's from my halitosis. Are you ready? Ask us some questions, right, and I'll give you some answers.
Will we see Professor Binns in the new Fantastic Beasts movie at Hogwarts?
What does that have anything to do with what we're talking about?
Because he was in this book
talking about exams, yeah, in the beginning of the chapter.
And I just thought it was a good time to ask the question.
Will we see him?
We were
alive?
Talking about Harry Potter.
Yeah. Will we see a live?
So let's talk about this.
A live Professor Binns.
That would be pretty cool.
I don't know, because we didn't even see Professor Binns in the original movies now, did we?
But, I mean, these are a different set. I bet you we won't. So, you never know.
That'd be so cool, though.
No.
It would be really cool, but my heart
wants it to be a yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are we going to see a love match between Dumbledore and Grindelwald in Fantastic Beasts? Like, are they going to be, like, macking on each other?
I really hope so.
So do I!
Macking? I don't think they... Mackin, but like, you'll know.
No,
there wasn't a whole lot of it'll be like subtle romance like it was in the
that's fine. I you want know, a little bit I, but I want them to be stuff. Like I want them to be like
you want like Google ogle eyes. Yeah,
yeah.
I want there to be a little love in the air.
I don't know about Mackin.
I want to see Jude Law.
Is this 1999? Are we saying Mackin?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Anyways, I have a question pertaining to this chapter. In the room with the devil's snare, it says that there is water trickling down the walls. Do you think this is located by the lake?
Probably.
Well, you could also think about if you dig, if you're at a lake on a beach and you dig even at the top of like the beach, like farther away from the water, and you dig a deep enough hole, you're going to get water.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's not by the lake...
I'm just wondering, because the lake is crazy deep, as we see in like the task. So I wonder if this is like...
I wonder if because it says they go miles under the school that it could just be the, like the piping.
Mm-hmm.
No, Megan, come on, be fun.
Nope. We're not fun on Sundays.
A different perspective.
And then my last question is, what do you think the letter the owl was carrying? What did you think it said?
Dumbledore. Oh. Come to the ministry because we got snacks. I bet you.
Because we got snacks.
Snacks.
I bet you it was very simple and straightforward without giving much detail, but I bet you it was just like a letter from the minister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That might make it more scary.
I mean, he always gets letters from Fudge anyway.
Yeah.
Asking for help. But I wonder if he was like, oh, dark people are here.
I don't like drinking water with a mustache on. It feels really weird.
I wonder if that's what men feel like.
Yeah, is this what it feels like? Do any of our listeners have mustaches? Is it weird?
What does it feel like when you drink water?
Do you get food stuck in your beards?
Save it for later. I like it.
Well, don't grow one.
I can't, so that's good.
Those are all my questions.
I have a question. Which of these runes would you least, if you were in it like they did, like the troll is dead, not dead, but knocked out. Fluffy's like kind of already asleep. Which one would you least like to like have to go through?
Potion. The potion one.
Okay. The chess room.
Oh, yeah. I'd be.
Oh, yeah.
I'm bad at chess. So, I mean, like, my dad had tried to teach me chess, and we would play it a lot because I was cool and got, like, the Harry Potter chess set. And I have, like, it looks like the Harry Potter things. Like, it's super sweet looking. And because it looked so cool, I wanted to play it all the time, but I didn't really know what I was doing. So, like, I know how to move the pieces and, like, how the pieces are supposed to move and all that kind of stuff. And, like, I understand the concept of chess, but I could never truly get a checkmate. Like, I don't know how to do it. I don't know. I don't know what I do wrong or, like, what I don't understand. But I can always get checks, but I can never figure out how to get a checkmate. So strategy. I think that I would be totally screwed in that room.
Yeah.
I would hope that I could just, like, guess my way through.
My next question.
But besides that, the potions room would be scary.
Yeah. Who, if you could pick two out of the three of them, who would you pick to be with you? Like Harry, Ron, and Hermione. Yes.
What do you mean, like going through the rooms?
Mm-hmm, yeah, if you could, there only could be three of you. You and which of those, pick two of those three people to go with. You.
Harry and Hermione.
Yeah, same.
Aww. Oh, no, Ron and Hermione.
Yeah, I'd pick Ron and Hermione as well.
Mm-hmm. I would want Ron for the chess.
Now, in real life, who would you pick if you could pick two other people?
Same.
You would still pick them? Mm-hmm. You wouldn't pick your husband to go with you?
Oh, I thought you meant like...
Anybody, like, well, real people.
Real us.
Well, you wouldn't want me to go with you.
No. take Marty and Fozzie.
What is Fozzie going to do for
he
you?
He can bite people.
Bite the troll.
Who is he going to be biting?
The troll.
He wouldn't bite Quirrell. The troll.
Mm. The devil snare.
Mm-hmm. He'd nip that right off.
So who would you guys bring?
Iggy Smalls. Megan can't even smile with a mustache on. She's like...
No, she looks like she's mad.
I meant to smile. I was trying to smile. I'm sorry if I looked mad. Honestly, I don't know. I guess I would say Katie and our roommate, Chris.
I'll definitely say Meg.
Chris just has, he has good common sense, and I think that he would be helpful.
That's true. Can I pick another person?
And I feel like maybe he would know chess. Do you think he knows how to play chess? I'm going to find this out. That would be a deciding factor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we need help with that room.
So who would you pick, Katie?
Probably Sam's, depending on the chess.
All right. Tiffany, who's your other person?
So Marty and your dad.
Shut the front door. I was just going to be like, I'd bring my dad and Marty. Marty or Matt? Because they're both pretty smart. And my dad's like the smartest dude, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my God, I'm like, well, first of all, I don't have a significant other, so I can't bring them with me, but I bring my dad.
You know I'm your surrogate.
Brother. Yeah.
Oh, man.
What other questions can I ask?
You guys have questions?
I have one.
Okay.
Because I was thinking about when McGonagall was all shocked that they figured out about the Sorcerer's Stone. So I was thinking, who do you think has shocked McGonagall more in their time at Hogwarts, Harry or James?
Oh,
Harry.
Just because of Voldemort.
Because it's on a bigger scale than James.
That's like kid stuff.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know, but, you know.
But at the same time, I'm sure that McGonagall, McGonagall would have known about Lupin, I think, but she obviously didn't know that they were ever with him. Mm-hmm. So I think if she had ever found out about that, that may have rivaled Harry's.
Or did
shocking.
They? And they let it go because they knew that
it was
Lupin
him.
Needed it.
I don't think that they would ever have been okay with students putting themselves in that type of danger.
Oh, they couldn't have known because they didn't know that they were Animagus.
They didn't know that Sirius was an Animagus to escape from Azkaban.
True.
All right, I have another question. Pretend you're a professor at Hogwarts.
Cool. And Professor Megan.
Professor Megan. It'd be actually Professor Petrus.
I like Professor Megan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes mouse tears. Professor makes mouse tears. So Dumbledore's ask you to put your own like protection on the stone. What would it be? And it has to have like, you can't just be like, oh, I'd have another troll. No, what's something like you would want?
Ooh.
That pertains to something about your life.
Oh, it pertains to my life.
Yeah, but like, so you gotta have a correlation to you and the thing. Like,
I feel like I would have taught potions. I don't know why, but
personal life, like Professor Snape does the potions. And
I can't look at you. Your mustache is twitching.
But like, give me, what do you think?
What do you think you would do?
I don't know.
Well, mine would be some sort of eating contest.
Ooh, oh yeah, yeah, that's good.
Mine would be trying to drink a gallon of milk
in an hour.
Oh god!
Drink a gallon.
If you
of milk
drink
in
it
an
and
hour.
You keep it down, you get to go.
Oh my gosh! So no.
Don't try that at home. I guess you vomit everywhere if you drink a gallon of milk in under an hour.
I want to like say mine would be like a charm of some kind, but I don't know like what.
That's what I was thinking, because like I envision myself teaching potions. So I don't think I would have done something like a logic thing like what Snape did. Mm-hmm. I would have.
You have to create the potion.
You would actually have to brew the potion, and it would have to be correct, and you'd have to drink it to get through the flames or something like that.
Okay.
You have to like
put that's kind of what I envision.
A charm on the door to make it open for you. I don't know. Not Alohomora, though, obviously.
Maybe I'd make someone read something in a different language they don't know because I can't read.
Do you know what I thought? What if we had like something like the egg and the task, and it was in like Mirmish? So if you don't know Mirmish, sorry, Charlie, you can't go through. Because it would like tell you exactly how to get like an obstacle course.
And then, I have one other question.
Sure.
Did you, reading this, still think it was Voldemort? Not Voldemort. Snape.
What? On the reread?
Just in general. No. Not on the reread.
I was like, what are you talking
like
about?
Like, the first time, like, were
I
you
think
like,
that I,
oh,
yeah,
OMG.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, when it said not even Snape, and then I was like, what?
I remember being very shocked.
Yeah, I remember turning to the next chapter when you find out who it is, and I was
and
like,
it tells you right away.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. I think that's all my questions.
My little 11-year-old mind was blown.
Oh, that's you. Oh, that's one other question. Do you think Hermione fell in love with Ron during this?
I'm sure it was a contributing factor to how much she liked him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it helped.
Yep.
Yep.
Oops.
I don't think they bring it up now that they're like old and gray. Do you remember when you sacrificed yourself? Still gives me the butterflies.
The butterflies.
Yes. All right, I'm done with my questions.
All right.
Do we want to move on to our fan story?
Yes, please.
Sure, if everyone's done.
Well, I'm never done.
Well, you can interrupt me if you think of something else. So this fan story comes from Brittany Johnston Cole. She says, I didn't read the books or see any of the movies until I was in college. I kind of watched a couple of the movies my freshman year, but let's be real, the movies have a ton of plot holes and confusing things in them that make no sense unless you've read the books, so I was not impressed. Also, I think I saw two random ones, so it was my own fault I was confused. Anyway, I studied abroad in England one semester. Very jealous.
Lucky.
And every time we went somewhere, someone would say, this one scene of Harry Potter was filmed here. And everyone would get all excited, and I just wanted to know what the hype was all about. Like 15 years after everyone else, I guess. I didn't really know anyone, and making friends takes time, so I had a lot of free time and figured I should try reading the books. I found the books at a local thrift store, where the first book was called The Philosopher's Stone, and bought them all over the course of a few weeks. As soon as I finished one book, I would watch the movie right after and go straight to the thrift store for the next book. The guy who worked there even had the last book set aside for me because he knew I would want it.
Aww.
I was hooked. I had the weird experience of seeing a scene in the movie and saying, oh, that scene was the one filmed by the church by my school. I set about seeing as many Harry Potter sites as I could.
So jealous.
I know. I didn't have to wait for any books or movies to come out, so I just got to fly through them all at full speed. It was pretty fun and quite the emotional roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
I love listening to your podcast as I begin yet another reread of the series. Thanks for all the hard work, time, and effort you put into this. It's so evident you're having fun, and I am too.
Dude, thank you.
Thank you very much.
That last line, man.
I know.
Gosh.
It speaks to my heart.
It does. Brittany, you rock.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I think it's cool that you you didn't just read all the books and then watch all the movies. You
did it one at a time.
Yeah, that's really awesome. Cool. Pretty cool. I've never heard that perspective before. Yeah. So.
And she's lucky she didn't have that weight between the books. Dude, it was grueling.
Brutal.
It was so brutal.
I guess. I mean, thankfully I came in at the right time, I guess, but apparently the wait between 4 and 5, the books, was awful.
It was unreal, you guys.
I don't really remember too much.
That is That is like known as
it was awful. Rough. It was a rough wait. Because think of the way that it ended.
Yeah.
And then you got Forever. It was hard.
Which See, when I the biggest
I'm
book
still scarred.
At that time. I know it isn't it
was
definitely
at that time 4 was.
Mm-hmm. 5 is
five
the biggest.
5 is the biggest. Yeah.
Oh, and the shortest movie.
Yeah.
But thank you, Brittany, for sharing your story with
thanks
us.
Thanks so much. And thanks for, you know, I don't know. Thanks for recognizing that it's a lot of hard work and time and effort that we do put into this, because I think maybe some people don't realize, but it is a lot. We love doing it, but it's nice to know that people can understand.
Mm-hmm. Right. We're having an amazing time. And then when someone else enjoys it too, that really makes it all worth it and even more fun.
Yeah. Sarah, dude.
All of it. I don't know who
we're
Harry Potter is.
We're taking a nice moment and you're eating chips.
I don't even know who Harry Potter is.
True.
So.
Megan's so over me.
It's that time for Meg's Mouse Tales.
So,
you won't hear me because I'm just going to be over there eating chips.
Make sure that you join our Facebook group to use for discussion on each episode and post all kinds of fun Harry Potter related stuff there. It's a great community and we love talking with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun.
It is. I really love it.
Yep.
So go find us on Facebook where we're most active and like our page to get all the latest info. We are Swish and Flick Podcast on Facebook or Swish Flick Cast on Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. Find us and follow us on Patreon. By supporting us on Patreon, it only helps us to be able to provide better content more often. So head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast and support your favorite Potter podcast.
Your absolute favorite.
Yes. And can we just shout out to people who've been recent sponsors? Because we have been jumping in gains.
Yeah, we have been.
We're getting... I mean, we still have a while to go, but we're closing the gap with our next goal.
Yeah, we really appreciate it, guys.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy to us.
It's pretty awesome. So if you're not a patron, you know you want to be.
Because we're about to finish up our Felix Files episode of Quidditch Through the Ages.
True. Very true.
So that's exciting, and that's for patrons. So also, we're going to add this onto our little social media section here. We have decided to share our Twitter and Instagrams. So make sure that you follow your Swish and Flick hosts on Twitter and Instagram. This is Megan. I'm at Meg's Mouse Tales, TALES, on Twitter and Instagram.
Say it.
Meg's Mouse Tales. Sarah is at O'Malley, which is O-H-H-H, Malley.
Three
H's. And here's Katie is at Skatorade 7. Mm-hmm. And then Tiffany is only on Twitter. So you can find her on Twitter at TiffSwish_Flick.
Yep. And that's it. That concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening. And don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing. Just my voice.
Do you want me to say it again so they could be in the outtakes?
Go for it.
Oh, Megan!
I love how we like make fun of Megan's name.
Megan! It's fun to say.
How does he say?
Star Wars is better.
Me. Are we ready to podcast?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.